Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. We are so excited to share this interview with you guys today with Courtney Reisig. She is a wife and a mom to three little boys, one set of twins. And in this show, you're going to hear about her journey through miscarriage and a two-year season of infertility. It's so relatable. She just talks about how God taught her that her suffering has purpose and not to just be living for the next season or hope that, you know, God is going to give her something good now because she's been through something hard, which is something I think a mindset we can all fall into. So just definitely listening as she shares about how she is looking ahead to the day where her body will no longer be under the curse, but will be healed. And she just, yeah, has so much good encouragement about our future hope in the gospel. So if you have been through a season of infertility or you've experienced miscarriages, we think you're going to be so blessed by this. And even not, if not, this is still just a show full of encouragement for anyone who's in a season of waiting or suffering or is just struggling under the weight of the hardship that everyday life brings. So definitely listen in. We are so excited for you to hear this interview with Courtney. Well, welcome to the show, Courtney. We are so happy to have you here on Risen Motherhood today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And can you just dive in and tell us a little bit about yourself? You're a writer, you're a speaker and author. So give us a little bit about your background and your family makeup and things like that.
Yeah, I'm a wife and a mom. I'm married to Daniel. He's a pastor in our church here. He's a lay pastor in our church here in Little Rock. And then he also, for his day job, is in sales. So we have, it's a multifaceted life. So sometimes we're doing ministry and sometimes he's on a business trip. So, but we've been married for 7 years and we have three children. We have twins who are 3 and a half. Their names are Luke and Zach. And we have a 15-month-old boy named Seth. So we have a lot of budding testosterone in our home.
Yes.
So I am, and I'm also a writer. Mm-hmm. I wrote the book, The Accidental Feminist, Restoring Our Delight in God's Good Design, a couple years ago. And continue to write and continue to speak as I have availability. But as I can fit it in during nap time and when they go to bed. So, yeah.
And you have a new book.
I have a new book. Yeah. I have a new book coming out in April and it's called Glory in the Ordinary, Why Your Work in the Home Matters to God. So it's kind of a, along the lines of the faith and work discussion, showing how our work, in the home is valuable to God and is a vital contribution to society. So it's kind of taking all the stuff that we have out there on faith and work and applying it to the work of the home.
Oh, sounds That's awesome. Great.
It's going to be so applicable. I know.
I hope so. I'm really excited about it. I'm so excited about it. And I feel like maybe I'm too excited about it. I don't want to burst with excitement, but I'm really excited to get it out there and to hopefully encourage people.
Definitely. Well, it sounds like something that would fit right in with all of our Risen Motherhood listeners. And so that's definitely something we'll all want to check out.
Yeah.
Okay. So can you share a little bit about your journey to motherhood with us? And we know you've experienced some seasons of infertility and miscarriage. And can you just tell us a little bit about your story?
Yeah. So when we got married, I always knew that we would probably have a hard time getting pregnant. I have endometriosis. And so I had known that prior to getting married. I'd had some surgery and some treatment with it. So we didn't wait super long to try to get pregnant when we got married, just because we were, I was already in my late 20s when we got married, and we got pregnant fairly quickly, so we were thankful, and then we miscarried really quickly after that, and so we were I had pretty high hopes that I would get pregnant again pretty fast after the miscarriage,
mm-hmm.
and was completely blindsided by the miscarriage because it was our first time. And, and then it took us 2 more years after that to get pregnant. And so we, and a lot of treatment, I had more surgery. I had some medical treatment that put me in menopause for 6 months, which was like crazy. So now I have empathy with women who are in menopause. Like they'll talk about being in menopause and I'll, like I can understand, and they think, oh, you poor young person, you don't understand. And I'm like, no, really, I understand what it's like to be in menopause. So I always kind of say I hope that I'll be more sanctified when I go through real menopause than I was when I was like 28 going through menopause. But and then we started trying then to get pregnant again after that and got pregnant. We're totally surprised. It was my last month of like trying without any drugs to get pregnant. And I actually didn't think I was pregnant. And, I was just like taking a pregnancy test for formality. Cause I was like, oh, I'm not pregnant. And I was. And so I was so excited and so nervous, because it was our first pregnancy after 2 years of waiting. And then after the miscarriage and, we went in for our ultrasound and we just wanted to hear like one heartbeat. And the, ultrasound tech was kind of smiling and she took a while and we were like, can you please say something? And then she said, well, there's one heartbeat and there's the other heartbeat.
Wow.
And I was like, why are there two heartbeats? Like, I didn't understand. I thought, what is wrong with my baby that my baby has two heartbeats? And, so we had twins. So we were completely blindsided. They're identical twins. They shared a placenta. So it was a high risk pregnancy. So I felt like my journey to pregnancy and then my journey through pregnancy, was just a lot of the Lord teaching me again to continue to trust him, to continue to trust that he is, is for my good and that he's caring for me. And, and they were born 8 weeks early, really unexpectedly. And they were in the NICU for 5 weeks. And, one of my sons had some had about 6 months of therapy or 8 months of therapy and then had to wear a helmet. So we had a lot of doctor's appointments that first year. And, and then wanted to get pregnant again quickly. So, cause I have endometriosis. And so we did, and then I miscarried again. But that one was really complicated. And so it was prolonged, the baby wouldn't pass. And, had some, like almost had some hemorrhaging and then had, to have a DNC finally at the end of it. But it was really, the end of that made us really think, especially my husband, like, do we even want to do this again? Like, do we even want to try to have a baby again? And God like changed our heart and eventually opened our heart more to, we do want another baby. And so the Lord gave us Seth and, so we had Seth and my pregnancy with him was like fairly normal, but I get diabetes when I'm pregnant and, his delivery was really complicated, but he's healthy and he was healthy and he was big and he was, probably the best baby I'll ever have. I don't think I'll ever have a baby as easy as him again. So, but yeah, so it was a lot, it's been just a lot of ups and downs. I feel like pregnancy is the Lord's way of confronting me with my fault, like living in a broken world and confronting me with my expectations of what I think life should be like. And, but also confronted me with my need to trust him. Like I'm completely out of control in those situations. So,
yeah, that's an incredible story, Courtney. And thanks for walking us through that. I don't think I've heard that like in its entirety. I've just read bits and pieces.
One of these days I need to write the whole thing down.
You do.
I know you really should.
It's incredible.
And one of the things we wanted to talk about on this show was just, you know, you've explained your journey through kind of miscarriage and infertility, but also it wasn't like there was this, you know, magical ending when you first, you know, gave birth to those twins. I mean, was that kind of what you were expecting? Like, okay, I'm pregnant now and I'm getting ready to have these babies and, you know, this is kind of our family story as we imagined it, or you know, how did that kind of go for you?
Oh, well, it was nothing like I imagined it would be.
Yeah.
One of the things I was really confronted with after I had them was the expectation in my heart that somehow, because I had gone through all I had gone through, that this next experience was just going to be easy, that I deserved an easy experience because I had had infertility and loss and a difficult pregnancy and, and God did not give that to me. So we had the 5 weeks of a NICU stay. We had, I had a lot of difficulty trying to nurse them, and they were just really small, and they were really, really hard babies. And then to be confronted with Luke needed therapy and having to go to therapy with him, and we didn't have family around. So I was trying to find sitters for Zach and then take Luke to therapy and fit these into a schedule of twins. And I was so bitter. I was so, and they got sick a lot. So we were just like always at the doctor and, I just got so bitter and thought, Lord, I deserve something easy. Like you took me through this hardship and now I deserve to just kind of smooth sail through having babies. Mm. And that's not what God gave me. And so I realized how much I was viewing my previous suffering as a kind of like, this is my consolation prize, getting these kids. Mm. And instead of viewing the suffering that I endured as preparation for continued suffering throughout my life. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could say I've learned that lesson. I haven't. but it that's what it was doing, is it was shaping me. It was molding me. It was teaching me to trust the Lord and teaching me. It was purging me of all the expectations and idols and sin in my life that was keeping me from seeing God for who he was. Mm. So that when another trial came, I could then respond in a way that was more worshipful rather than resentful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm a really slow learner, so it takes me a really long time.
Aren't we all?
Unfortunately, so God keeps giving me the same thing over and over and over again, and I'm like, okay, obviously you want me to learn this lesson.
Yes.
So, but that was the biggest thing I was confronted with, was just thinking that I deserved something easy. Mm-hmm. And so,
well, and I think that's common in so many situations where we go through a season of suffering and we do expect it to let up. And like you said, it's only oftentimes preparing us for more and for us to further identify with Christ in those sufferings. And so what would you say were some of the things that you sort of had to preach to yourself or say to yourself, like some things that, maybe some lies that you believed and how you could counteract them with truth in those seasons?
Yeah. Like I remember after our second miscarriage, like laying in bed the night after, so we had gone in and we were not expecting to have miscarried because I had like symptoms and everything. So we thought, oh, this is just normal. So we went in for the ultrasound and there's no heartbeat. And, it was a blighted ovum. So that's when your body thinks that the baby's growing, cause the baby is growing, but like there's no baby inside the sac. And so, I remember laying in bed and just like repeating over and over again, like that I know God is good. Like I know he's good. And like, I have to remind myself of those things regularly in those seasons of loss. Or when I was dealing with infertility and I would see another person get pregnant, or like people were having like one and two kids when we were dealing with infertility. So like they would have their first and they would get pregnant with their second. And so when you're having to walk through, like I've gone through a couple seasons of pregnancy with people and I still don't have a baby. I just had to remind myself that God is good. Like that he's not withholding anything good from me. He's only giving me good things. And those are really hard things to come to terms with when the good things you want are a baby or a baby that you were pregnant with to hold in your arms. And those are hard things to come to terms with, like for people like us who are pro-life. So we're like, but babies are good. Like we love babies and we value life. And yet God is saying no to that thing. And so I had to continually remind myself that he's for my good. He's not for my evil. That this is serving his greater purposes for me. And that one day I'll look back and see why he was doing it. Maybe not until I'm in heaven. But one day I'll look back and see that he had a good purpose in this. In Knowing God, J.I. Packer talks about unanswered prayers and how when we have unanswered prayers, we think that God doesn't care about us or that he's maybe ignoring us. And Packer says like that our unanswered prayers, really, if we were God, if we had all the knowledge that God has, then we would only answer them in the way he answers them. We would never answer them in the way we want them answered. And again, those are hard things to come to terms with when the good thing you're asking for a very good thing. But it's another reminder that God is God and I am not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's amazing. We always want, you know, it's like, oh, could God work another way besides through suffering and hard things? But those are often the things that cause us to be the most dependent on him and to run to him in prayer and to get on our knees. And I was just telling Laura yesterday, I had kind of a hard moment with parenting earlier this week. And I'm like, you know, though, this reminds me that, like, I am not Superwoman and I do not have it all together. And this is hard and I need Jesus. And so I know that on varying levels, like, that just happens every day. And that's God's mercy for us.
Yes. And I love remembering too, that there is meaning in suffering, that, like you kept saying, there is purpose and that there it's not meaningless. And like remembering that all of these things are building us, you know, towards that eternal way of glory. And that there, like you said, someday we may not know until we're in heaven, but there is purpose today here and now for us to suffer well. And like that God is an intentional God.
And like I was, Daniel's my husband. Early on, we were very intentional, and we were committed that we were going to walk openly through these things. And so we wanted to value the life of the babies that we lost. And so we were going to talk about that and not shy away from that. And so I've always, ever since our first miscarriage, written openly about these things. And a friend of mine recently miscarried. She's a writer friend of mine, and we've actually never met in person, but she emailed me. I've been emailing her back and forth, talking to her about it. And she emailed me and she said that the day she miscarried, the first thing she thought of was how much I had talked about it and how she just wanted like to talk to me about it because she had remembered the things I had written. And when I read her email, I just started crying because I felt like, I mean, 6 years later, like the Lord is is redeeming the pain. And she was saying that she hopes the Lord will redeem her pain in the same way. And so that's my hope in the midst of it is that, and I also write openly about it because if I kind of retreat into my own hole, I feel like I'd wither and die. So if a bunch of people know I'm struggling with something, then maybe that's like enough protection that I'm not going to like fall off the deep end. So it was a really encouraging moment to see that the Lord, again, is not wasting anything in our lives.
Yeah. And so how would you, like say, you know, after having children, and a lot of our listeners, you know, I would say like 99% are moms now, and many have traveled through these same seasons like you have. And so what would, you know, you say how these, the sorrows that you experienced kind of have presented themselves now in motherhood, kind of after the fact, or do those things come back or do you think about them?
Yeah, I do. I think about them. One of the things I think about a lot, like that still kind of gives me like some sorrow and some grief is that none of my pregnancies have been what you would call like textbook normal. And so none of my ways of getting pregnant either have been textbook normal. And so those are always hard for me when I see people having babies in a way that seems normal. I can tend to be really self-pitying and struggle with, like, oh, it's not easy for me. It's not, I have had miscarriages or I've had difficult pregnancies or I've had, I don't just like blink and get pregnant. So that's in my worst days and in my most sinful moments, I do struggle with the reality that my body is broken. Everyone's body is broken, but I've had to really come to terms with the reality of the curse in a way that I didn't ever anticipate in my own life. And so my husband and I often joke like that the curse on women is like alive and well in my body. And so I've, but what it's done though is drive me to the scriptures and drive me to see, how that's not the end of my story and that's not the end of anyone's story. So we're all cursed. We all face the curse. But Christ came and reversed the curse. And so, I've had to continually remind myself that yes, my body's broken. My body is fading away. But one day Christ's going to redeem this body and then this is not my home. And so, even if I have issues my whole life, and and I'm living and living with the reality of a broken body, that I get eternity with one that's not broken. And so, which is more exciting. So,
amen. Yes.
That is exciting. That's something to look forward to.
It is. It is. So I've had, it's really propelled me to long for the new heavens and the new earth more than I probably ever would have. And I was a real, like, I was a pretty even keel, like, pretty, life wasn't super hard. I didn't have any issues before all this happened. And I feel like the Lord has definitely used it to humble me and to really bring me to the end of myself and see my need for Him and my dependence on Him. And so I'm thankful for that. Like, I would have been a different person if pregnancy had come easy to me. And I would have probably been a far less empathetic person if that had come easy. So
that's true. Suffering and trials definitely have just humbled me and made me more empathetic. That is such a good term, to where I can relate to others, where before I probably, you know, unfortunately judged them or unfairly thought things in, even in my mind, but suffering sort of just levels that playing field, doesn't it?
Yes. Like, I thought I was the best parent ever before I had twins. And then I thought I knew everything about parenting, and I feel like having twins like totally leveled me. Like, I'm like, I have no idea how to be a parent.
You guys, I'll just tell you, one levels you as well. One will level you.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I'm just like, you just go and you just figure it out as you go, and somehow they make it. And so
I know everyone's the best parent, right? Until they become a parent. It's kind of hard. I guess we want to maybe close with what are some encouragements that you would say to a mom traveling through this right now? I know you mentioned you have a friend that you've been emailing back and forth with, but what would you say to a mom who is in the midst, maybe in between children, longing for another child? What are some encouragements that you'd give her that are gospel centered?
Yeah, one of the things that I felt like the Lord did in my life was drive me to the scriptures throughout our infertility and miscarriage season. And I was so helped by the long list of women in scripture who were barren. And you see, like, that God... So God is preserving, like, His line. God's preserving His promise of a Messiah through this family line and through these women. But these women couldn't bear children, and so He chose the women who were despised by society. He chose the women who couldn't do what everyone expected them to be able to do, and He opened their wombs and He gave them children. And then He continued the line of bringing Christ into the world. And I found great kinship in those women as I read my Bible. I found great encouragement in those women. And what I was just continually came back to is that God didn't forget them. Like, I think of Hannah, who is praying in the temple and remaining faithful while she is despised and she's barren, and God meets her there and gives her a child. And Elizabeth and Zechariah... being faithful in their old age, and God gives them a child. And so it's not a formula for getting pregnant, obviously, because that's not how God works. But I found so much hope in the fact that God didn't forget these women who were despised far more than any infertile woman in our society would be despised.
Yeah.
And that God not only didn't forget them, but he used them in His greater purposes to bring about Christ, to bring Christ into the world. And so the same God who didn't forget them doesn't forget us either. He doesn't leave us to ourselves in our suffering and in our loss and in our waiting. And then again, I encouragement of that this season is not a stepping stone to something greater. It's God's great, it's God's good purposes for us now. And so there are things to learn and things to see about His character that He wants for us in our suffering. He wants to use our suffering to shape us and to make us more like Himself. And often suffering is what He uses to chisel away the sin and to mold us more into His image. And so that's what he wants for us, and whether it's hard in the moment. And it can be easy for someone to look at me. I'm on the outside of it. So I have children now. But everyone has suffering that they're facing that is God is using to make them more into the image of Christ. And for some that's infertility. And in that moment, we don't want to waste it. We don't want to look back and say, I pined away and I didn't see what God had for me in that moment.
Mm. Yeah. That's a good word for probably anyone listening is, going through some season of struggle or suffering or waiting, or why is God not giving me this good thing? And, I know I tend to think in terms of like, if I just get through this struggle, if I just get through this season, like you said, Courtney, everything's going to be okay for a while, or God owes me a good season. And just remember that is not what this life is about. And, we will have a season where we are resting in Christ, where we are, having joy in our work, where we're no longer waiting, because everything we could ever have wanted is here, but that's not now. And that's so hard for us to grasp. But I appreciate your encouragement to look at suffering as just a merciful tool that God uses to draw us near to him and give us hope and remind us of who he is and what he's doing.
Amen. This was Courtney. I feel like we could just talk to you forever. Like
I know. We could talk for a long time.
I love hearing just your wisdom in this and your openness. And I think that's just so commendable that you really are, just proclaiming the gospel in the midst of that suffering and using your trials well. And so, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to need to have you back, I think, when your book comes out, because it sounds so good.
I know. So that totally really different fun. Topic, but also just super applicable. So
yes, super applicable. So thank you again. We just really, really appreciate it. And thanks everyone for tuning in.
Wow, wasn't that an incredible interview? We just loved having Courtney on the show. And even though I haven't personally experienced infertility or miscarriage, I still felt like there were so many things that I could take away and just to apply to things and trials that I'm going through right now. And I love how she talked about the purposes and waiting and remembering that God is always good, that he is never withholding good things from us in a trial as we wait, but that he has a higher plan. And that, as she talked about the J.I. Packer quote, just that if we had all the knowledge that God had, then we would understand the decisions and that we would make the same decisions that he had. We see so little here on this life. And so we can all look forward to one day when all will be redeemed, restored, when all will make sense, because we have a purposeful, meaningful God that lets nothing go to waste. So if you want to hear more from Courtney, you can find her on her website, CourtneyReisig.com. We will have a link to that in the show notes, so you can easily find it there. And in addition, definitely check out her book, The Accidental Feminist. That's on Amazon. Again, we'll have a link in the show notes. And of course, look forward to her new book, Glory in the Ordinary, Why Your Work in the Home Matters to God, coming out on April 30th in 2017. So we are really excited for that book and definitely want to have Courtney come back down the road to talk about that book and everything in there, because it's going to be great. In addition, you can find her on Twitter at Courtney Reisig, and we will, again, everything can be found in the show notes. All the things that she mentioned today on the show, we'll also have some additional things that Courtney's written. She writes for a lot of big websites, so she has great articles on this topic that will really, I think, help support the interview today if you want to find out more. So head over to our website, risenmotherhood.com. There you will find all the show notes. In addition, please find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of those social media sites. We are there sharing the word about everything we talk about each week on the show, and have built just a really wonderful community. So we'd love it if you joined us. And in addition, if you have a chance, we would really appreciate a review and rating on iTunes. That's the best way to help new moms find the show. And so we would love to get the word out in that way. And if you could just support us in a small way by leaving a review, that would be great. All right. I hope you all have a great day.